Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward. That's what Avanti means in Italian, moving forward. So, and we do this so that you, our listeners, can reach your potential. And the way I do this and help you with this is I interview Rochester's business movers and shakers. And today I want to welcome on the show not only a really great Rochester, Western New York business mover and shaker, but a friend since I was 16 years old. How about that? So today I have on the show John McKenna. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Glad to be here.
I am so glad to have you. I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy. And John, your official title is President and CEO of Tompkins Bank of Castile, right?
Correct.
Yep. And so it's quite awesome for me. It's a guy that met you when I was 16. So you would have been what, like 19 maybe or something, right? So and so for the long Rochesterians that have been here for a while, they may remember Bill Walls restaurant in the Village of Pittsford. And Bill Walls was kind of like a Bill Gray's, right? Kind of like a Tom Walls, but had a very unique atmosphere. So I was a young punk kid. My father said, David, go get a job. I rode my bike to Bill Walls, applied, got a job as a order taker right away, which was fun. And you were behind the counter. You were flipping burgers, right?
Exactly. I was well along in my cooking career at that point.
You became an expert. So from flipping burgers to president and CEO of a very great bank. So your parents must be proud.
They are. My mother's still with us, and she's very proud in this. And who, I'll tell you, I never would have scripted it. You never know where the road's going to take you, obviously, but it's been great.
Yeah. Well, that's
great to see you.
Great to see you. I remember yelling at you, one ground, that's one, right? And when I try to be funny, I would say, one ground, that's three. And you guys didn't think it was that funny.
No.
Your brother Mike worked there.
Yeah.
And well, let's just say he wasn't as jovial as you were. He snapped at me a few times, you know. You always were nice.
He's still a little snappy sometimes.
He's a little curmudgeon, yeah. And then we have to also mention, too, that I graduated high school with your sister, Chris. Yeah. So if she's listening to this, hi, Chris. Once again, really nice person. Yep. So the good McKenna blood going on.
She will love to hear this. And full disclosure, I later in life got to know your father.
Oh, you met my dad, Sam.
Right. Another
That's
great.
Right. How'd you meet my dad?
Great guy. We were board members together at Monroe
right.
Community Hospital Foundation.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. So that's what's great about Rochester, right? The smallest big town in the world, right?
Exactly.
So I want to hear about the bank of Castile. So just to clear it up, so there's Tompkins and there's Bank of Castile.
Sure.
What is the difference?
So first, Dave, I'm going to thank you for pronouncing Castile correctly.
Right.
Because
there's
a lot of folks out there that look at it for the first time and think Castile. I cannot account for when it started to be pronounced Castile, but as many towns in upstate New York have taken names from.
Yep.
All around the world, and then done with them what they will in terms of how to pronounce it. That also happened.
Chile.
Exactly. That happened.
My Italian relatives say, instead of Batavia, they say
Batavia. Exactly. Which is our headquarters. So thanks for mentioning
there
that.
There you go. Call out for Batavia.
So to answer your question, Tompkins Financial Corporation is our public holding company. So we're a public company. Our stock ticker's TMP. The company was formed in 1999, and essentially what happened was three long-standing independent community banks came together under a holding company, Tompkins Financial. So the Bank of Castile is one of those three. The other two are Tompkins Trust Company, which is a 180-year-old financial institution out of Ithaca, now all through Central New York. And the third partner was Mayopac National Bank, which operates down in the Hudson Valley. They were the junior member they're about 97 years old.
Wow.
The Bank of Castile has been around, we're in our 148th year.
Wow.
Founded in Castile, really has roots in the agricultural community, and that's how we got started. Still a very important part of our business, and we continue to serve what we call the GLOW region, Genesee, Livingston, Wyoming, and Orleans counties. Ag is important in those regions, but we've grown into Rochester, and we actually kind of excited to be now venturing into Buffalo as well.
Wow.
Headquartered in Batavia and cover that region, the Western New York region.
So really the whole Western New York. I mean, we're at your office now, which is in the Bushnell's Basin area in Monroe County. So we'll have to expand that acronym, GLOW. We got to fit the M in there somehow, right?
Hard to pronounce after that. But we GLOW in Monroe
is very good.
Is what we were saying.
I like that.
But now we've added a Buffalo as well.
Right.
So
got to figure.
We're going to work on that.
Yeah, that's great. It's you know, I guess the overview of what you guys do. So you have traditional bank locations, but you also do wealth management, all that, and everything in between. Is that right?
Exactly. So we're a financial services company. The three primary lines of business are banking, insurance, and wealth management. Just a little bit of history. I mentioned the bank side of it, but Tompkins Trust Company had from its origins, a strong and viable trust business. Wealth management is a natural extension of trust. As we became part of the same company, we extended those services across the three regions that we were in. Insurance, actually, not always part of a bank. The Bank of Cast Isle actually had purchased an insurance agency prior to becoming part of Tompkins. It was Ernest Townsend and Son. They're out of Leroy. That was our first insurance operation. Since then, we've acquired 21 agencies to expand the practice across our footprint, and it's become all three are significant business for us. And we try to bring as much as we can to every client that makes sense across those spectrums, both consumers and individuals as well as businesses.
That's great. So, as a bank president, so you're traveling. I mean, I had to make an appointment with you while you were in the Monroe area, but you spent a lot of time in Batavia and apparently Buffalo now too. So you're kind of a president on the road. Is that right?
I am on the road. Earlier in my career, I worked in New York City, lived there for a while, lived in Jersey, commuted in, and then, believe it or not, for 8 years, moved back to Rochester, but commuted to New York from Rochester. And my car would sit at the airport. So I would literally, if I got 8,000 miles on my car every year, it was a big deal. In this role, I'm coming in around 35,000. So it's
a year, huh?
A year. So yeah. I get a lot of car time, a lot of time to think, radio, listen to the radio, make a few phone calls. So you find ways to make it efficient and productive.
Do you listen to my show?
Absolutely, every week.
That is the right answer, John. That's the right answer. Thank you. In fact, maybe you'll listen to yourself, right? So.
I don't know if I could stand myself, but I'll listen to your part of it.
Well, you know, it's funny about the car. You know, with today's like kind of frenetic society, for me, the car has become like the last bubble of solitude. It's the only place I can be like alone. And if I want to be quiet, I can, or just do whatever. I actually have the focus to make phone calls or think, like you said, because it's getting more and more difficult to do with all the ways that people can get in touch with you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, hey, John, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I'm here with John McKenna from the Bank of Cast Isle.
Weekday evening, 6 to 9, it's Chad Benson. Join Chad for refreshingly different commentary on today's news on WOKR.
Hey, folks, Dave Mamato here, host of Avanti Entrepreneur Radio. I'm here to welcome a new sponsor to my show. It's One Down Consulting. A friend of mine, Ron Willie, owns the company. And, you know, I look back at when I started in sales and I had a Rolodex and a phone. And we all have access today to the best sales and marketing technology. But most of us are not using it effectively. And let's face it, the companies that leverage technology will outmarket and outsell their competitors. If you need help with all of this technology to make sure you're maximizing your sales and marketing efforts with technology, then Ron Willie and One Down Consulting is your partner. They can really make sure that you are maximizing your sales and marketing technology strategy, your sales process, your marketing and sales alignment. They have implementation of tools for marketing automation, Salesforce automation, CRM, and so much more. I really encourage you to go to onedownconsulting.com to learn more, and or just reach out to me and I'll connect you.
Think of everything you do to provide for your family. A home, food on the table, healthcare, vacations, and saving for your kids' education. It's all good as long as you're alive. But it's only a drop in the bucket of what they'll need if you die without life insurance. Buying term life insurance is not something you can afford to put off. Call the Term Lifeline now for the lowest possible rates on quality term life insurance. Term life rates are at all-time lows, and we can save you up to 70%. If you already have coverage, you could be paying too much. One call could save you thousands of dollars. We have great rates for smokers, too, or if you have health problems. Providing for today is good, but it's not enough if you die prematurely. Call the Term Lifeline today for a free quote. Protect your family and see if you could save up to 70%.
800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. That's 800-430-1481.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? We can help you if you qualify. Your student loans can be taken out of default. We can stop the wage garnishments, stop the collection calls, and stop the seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and see if we can help you reduce your student loan payments. One quick 10-minute call could solve them right now. So call the Student Loan Helpline now.
800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, that's 800-419-2201.
This is a fee-based document preparation service to help you access free government programs. Call for complete details, not available in all states.
Finally, a radio station for conversation, 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we're back. We are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amato, your host. I am here with John McKenna, and he is the CEO and president of Tompkins and Bank of Castile. We want to make sure you say that right. People say Castile. Is that right, you said?
Or every once in a while, but we're working on that.
The Bank of Castile. I don't know why I know that. I think I've heard it a lot, but it just sounds better too. It's a nicer way to say it, right?
And it is. That's how the town pronounces it. So we were founded in the town of Castile.
Where is that town?
There, it's about 60 miles south of here. You head down 390, and then you get down to Mount Morris, and you start to migrate a little west, and then you'll hit it. So if you go to Ellicottville to ski, you can either go across the thruway and down, or you can take the southern route. And if you take the southern route, you'll go through several of our towns, including Castile.
So. Right, that's great, and it's great that you've kept the name all these years. I mean, it's rooted in a lot of history, I guess. Right, I know that some banks have. They had these, we'll say names for a long time, and then they would change them. But that's great. You guys are holding on to the roots. Huh?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because that's very intentional. And I promise you a lot of thought has gone into that because certainly as we've grown and now multi-bank holding company, it certainly would be simpler for you to introduce me today.
Right.
If the name was just X.
Yeah. And the Bank of John.
Well, it's a lot more than John, I promise. But we also feel very strongly that 148 years of brand equity and connection with the communities we're in, the towns, and most importantly, the people, that to walk away from that would be a real mistake. And it's we're proud of that history. We're proud of that legacy. And we don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose that connection. It does take a little more work. It takes a few more letters on the cards and on the marketing brochures and on everything else and a little more effort. But we think it's worth it.
Do you go down to Castile a lot?
I wouldn't call it a lot. I never get to all of our regions as much as I would like. Yeah. So that includes Castile. I do get to all of them. So Arcade, Castile, Medina. Everywhere we are, I certainly get yes.
Yeah. So I'm here with John McKenna, President and CEO of Bank of Castile. And for those of you just tuning in, John and I met in the mid-'80s working at the time, a Pittsford institution called Bill Walls. And it was your traditional grab a tray, you kind of move through the line, order what you want, burgers, hot dogs, roast beef plates, whatever, all this different stuff, right? Great French fries. And then there was a great ice cream stand at the other end. And I became like, I think you guys gave me a title called like the assistant ice cream supervisor, just to you give me a little ego boost.
Right? It was clear you had leadership skills, Dave, right even from back the beginning.
Then, even back then. You're like, this kid likes ice cream, you know.
We all did.
It was very good. And now it's a Pittsford pub and JoJo's, right? Yeah. Which is pretty crazy. And then and Tom Walls, I guess, was his cousin. Oh, his brother. Brother, okay. And then who was the other guy that used to, Bob?
McConnell.
Bob McConnell. And his family owned it before that,
his
right?
His family had a dairy there. So yeah. It was McConnell's dairy, and Bob was sort of the last family member, and he was still making the ice cream when we were there.
Yeah. What a great experience. I think every teenager should work at a restaurant just to learn how to deal with the public and see how that whole business works, because it was some great life lessons for me.
I couldn't agree with you more. I started there, I don't know if you know this, in eighth grade as a stock boy.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
A good friend of mine had been doing it, wasn't going to be able to anymore, introduced me, and what a great opportunity to get introduced to working.
Yeah.
You know, being responsible, communicating with people, delivering, being on time, and making a lot of friends, as you know.
Absolutely.
It was a wonderful experience.
So eighth grade, should we talk about the child labor laws, or are we going to just forget about that?
I don't think Bill was breaking any rules, but it paid more than my paper route. So
that's good. Yeah. I had a paper too, Times Union.
I was DNC.
You were the Democratic Chronicle. Yeah. So that's a good base too. So, John, I want to hear about your journey from, I guess, the DNC paper boy to flipping the burgers, Bill Walls, and now to president and CEO of Bank of Castile. I mean, that's a great path. So can we hear a little bit how that happened?
Well, I'll try to keep it pointed, and then you tell me what you want to hear more about. I'm a local guy. I stayed here for college and my MBA at the University of Rochester.
You went to McQuaid, right?
McQuaid, St. Louis and Pittsford.
Yeah.
So right down the street, McQuaid, University of Rochester. And when I was finishing at University of Rochester, I was pretty sure I wanted to go into business. Thought an MBA made sense. Wanted to go right into business school, and I applied and was accepted. But I was also interviewing, and one of the interviews was with Citibank. And Citibank had a management training program. They had 100% tuition reimbursement. And I did the math and said, might take me another year, but this might make some sense.
It works out well.
So thankfully, I was lucky enough. They offered me a position. I joined them, and I started in banking. And it was in a retail setting, so it was a management training for branch management. Mm-hmm. And candidly, looking back now from the job I have now, I'm so thankful that I did that, because that, albeit brief, gave me exposure to the retail branch banking setting, and that pays dividends for me every day in this job that I'm in now. So I'll try to move on a little bit. So finished the MBA, wanted to be an investment banker. Who doesn't want to be an investment banker who's got an MBA, right?
Mm-hmm. That's where the money is, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not sure I knew what it meant at the time. But
it sounds nice.
But it sounded cool, and I'd read a good Michael Lewis book, Large Poker, and thought, oh, this sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I was, again, made some connections, worked hard, and was recruited for a position in investment banking at Chase. And Chase had some folks here in Rochester, most of it was in New York, and had the chance to essentially start bridging between Rochester and New York for Chase. That began what turned out to be a 17-year stint at what became J.P. Morgan Chase, and all of it focused on what's called syndicated lending, which is putting together large commercial loans that you then syndicate. You put a group of banks together to provide those loans. So it could be $100 million. We worked on deals that were several billion and everything in between. And along those 17 years, I got to work on all kinds of different transactions, but the common theme in there being syndicated lending. So it was a lot of fun, got to see a lot of things, got to travel some, worked with a lot of great companies and a lot of great people. My family started to grow. My wife, Martha, is from Rochester as well. We met at the University of Rochester. We both, over time, realized and thought raising our family here in Rochester would be a wonderful thing if we could make it happen. I was able to relocate the family back here in 2000, but started to commute to New York, which from Rochester is A little effort.
Not always easy, right? Yeah, it's a 50-minute flight, but once you're there, it's another like 2 hours to get to the city, right?
Right. So you never know where the road's going to take you. And my plan was to continue to do that, but look for that perfect landing spot here in Rochester. Well, that took about 8 years, partially because the commuting wasn't so bad. The job was great. Mm-hmm. Really enjoying it. And and so I actually did that for 8 years. But along the way, I had been introduced to the CEO, the gentleman I replaced, Jim Fulmer, who was 27 years ago, was the CEO. Loved what I heard about the company, and we started sort of a hey someday conversation. That hey someday finally came in 2008, and I joined the company. I helped them grow here in Monroe County for the first 5 years. Candidly, I spent a lot of it learning the business, focused on the commercial lending side. And came time for Jim to retire after 26 years, you know, amazing career, and taking the bank from, I want to say it was 5 branches when he got here, and around $80 million. And when he left, it was about $1.1 billion.
Wow.
And 16 branches. So he
wow.
had done an amazing job. Jim was one of the architects of putting us together with the Tompkins family, and just a great person. Still in the community, very active, still on our board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got to this position.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, like it a lot. I don't know that I would have, you know, if you'd asked me 15 years ago, that I would have said that's where I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to be a bank president growing up?
You know, it really didn't. That one didn't really cross my mind.
Fireman,
it was more exactly.
Playing for the Yankees, right?
Right. Policeman, Bill Walsh, flipping burgers.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, listen. Obviously, there's a lot of responsibility. When I think bank president, I mean, I think of a very important, I'll say in my mind, overwhelming job. But what does you know? Is there a typical day? What does a bank president do?
Yeah, that's a. I'm glad you asked it that way, because there really isn't a typical day. Well, the only thing that's typical about the day is they're full. Mm-hmm. and they're busy. You know, you mentioned sort of the overwhelming nature of it, and you know, as you were saying that, what sprung into my mind was, you're right. But and the key to being successful and being able to sleep at night is surrounding yourself with good people, because there's no way you can do this alone. And I'm very fortunate. I came into a situation where we had a fantastic team. They, for the most part, it's the same team. I've been CEO just about done with the third year, and we continue to build that team. We continue to bring in great people that make us even better, and that's how we get it done every day. But it's every day is different. I have some days that are more internally focused, sitting with our board of directors, sitting with our management team, sitting with my counterparts that run the other three banks and the insurance business and the wealth management business. And then I get to spend a lot of time out and about with our branch staff and our clients, and visiting people that we're trying to get to be clients. So
yeah.
I did a lot of that throughout my career, and I still really enjoy that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very lucky that I do, in this kind of position. One of the great things about it is you do get to do a lot of different things.
So you're not the type of guy that wants to be in the office all day, looking at spreadsheets, feeling all important, but you know, management by driving around.
Right. Exactly. Right? It'd be a lot easier on my assistant if I did stay in the office once in a while.
Right, yeah.
Poor Heather has a hard
She's great, though. She helped me set this up, and I know it was kind of a Herculean task. So.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Heather.
thanks for saying that. I'm lucky to have her. She because I'm not easy to keep track of.
Right, yeah. yeah, that's great. So in your years in banking, you know, what is the difference between being a banker today as opposed to being a banker when you first started? I mean, I know there's lots of changes with, you know, the internet, the whole digital revolution. What, you know, if you were to just look back when you first started as opposed to things that bankers are doing today, what are some of the big changes that you would say?
Yeah, there are lots of them. Some things, and what I'd love to comment on, there's some things are the same, mm-hmm. and some things are very different. Technology has really taken hold in every business, but yeah. clearly in financial services. Speed, you know, the speed with which people want information. They ask a question, they're not, mm-hmm. don't call me back tomorrow, don't send me a letter, don't call me in a week.
Right.
People want information immediately. I do too. Mm-hmm. Just like our customers. And so that the speed with which we make decisions, we address service issues, we answer questions, give advice. That time frame is just compressed to next to nothing. And we work hard to continue to make it even faster. People continue to be a very important part of how we deliver. Having said that, with technology and with people accessing us using technology so frequently. So, for example, 20 years ago, you'd have checks. You'd have a paycheck, and you might walk that paycheck to the bank. And you'd say hello to the teller you see every week and deposit it, and you might take some home. Today, that's going in by direct deposit. You're seeing it on your phone. You're using Venmo to send it to your son or daughter, and all those things happen without any more people, so our without any people intervening. So it's not that we employ fewer people today than we did then, but we can serve a lot more customers with that same employee base. And for example, our buildings, our facilities themselves look very different. So an old branch, you'd walk in, there'd be 10 teller stations. Today, there might be two or three, and they might not even be stations. They might be pods. It might be a sort of a high-top table or two where you sit and you chat, and on a mobile device, the information that mm-hmm. the person you're transacting with is there. And so it's in a lot of ways, it's very different. I guess what's similar, I mentioned people. What's similar is what's really important is listening, looking at the person's situation, understanding what their needs or desires or concerns are, and then helping them get what they need. Listening is still, in my view, the key to being a good banker today.
All about the people at the end of the day. Yeah, I know you can take a picture of your check and it gets deposited in your account. This is all Jetson stuff, right? Mm-hmm. George Jetson stuff. We're here, right?
Exactly. If you even use a check. You know,
if you use a check,
think about how many you used to go through. Mm-hmm. You know, 200 checks every few weeks or so, or a month.
Yeah.
Today, I'm amazed. I pulled the checkbook out to write that next check, and it's been 4 months since I wrote.
You know, it's funny. It's hard to pay with the check these days. I tried to pay with the check the other day at a place, and we don't accept checks.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so the credit card or cash?
Yeah, it's changing.
I mean, I remember, my parents would go to Wegmans sometimes, pay with a check. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know if Wegmans accepts. You know, it's so you're right. It is a different world. So, yeah. Hey, John, we're going to take a quick break. I'm here with John McKenna, folks, from the president and CEO of Bank of Castile and Tompkins. And we'll be right back.
Weekday evening, 6 to 9, it's Chad Benson. Join Chad for refreshingly different commentary on today's news on WOKR.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. That's 800-219-8332.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-989-1694. 800-989-1694. 800-989-1694. Again, 800-989-1694.
Canandaigua's newest radio station, 1310 WOKR.
I am Dave Amano. We are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I have a great guest today, who's not only a guest, he's a friend. I've known him since the 80s, way back when. John McKenna, president of Bank of Castile. And so John and I were talking, if you're just tuning in, John is now a very distinguished bank president, but I met him years ago at a institution in the Village of Pittsford called Bill Walls, which was a burger joint now known as the Pittsford Pub and JoJo's. Well, I was an order taker, and John was flipping the burgers back then. Very good, very, very good burger flipper, by the way. And that's how we met, and we're talking about his path to from there to being a bank president, and also just the changes in banking and how it's really become a lot of changes with technology, a lot of George Jetson stuff going on today. But at the end of the day, John is very focused on the fact that it's still a people business, listening. God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, and we're supposed to use them in that proportion. Listening and seeing what the customer's needs are. Do they need to save for retirement, investment, college? Am I a business owner? What are my needs for the business? And then you guys do what they call the customer needs analysis, I guess, right? And figure out how you can help. And that's what a good bank does. You know, what I really like about banks like Bank of Castile is just the local aspect, because, you know, you talked about Citibank, and I don't want to knock them. They're all great banks. But for me, the unique competitive advantage of doing business with a local bank is I'm not a number. I'm not on a spreadsheet. Your customers, who you may have known, like me, for 30 years, right? They can call you. You'll probably meet with them. Try to do that with the president of Citibank. It's not going to happen, right? So you can get a little more personal, I guess, when it comes to analyzing a situation. You can customize solutions a little bit more. I know you're probably not supposed to add emotion to the equation, but maybe that plays a little factor in the background, right?
Always does.
You know, and you're not going to get that when you're a number on a computer done in New York, right? So a little plug for the local banks, I'll say overall, that's a great unique advantage that you guys get to offer. And I'm glad that in the whole world of, bigger companies buying, the smaller fish and all that stuff, that there are still local solutions for banking. Because I think if that were to ever go away, as a business person, I would be very sad.
Absolutely. Thank you for the plug. Mm-hmm. And we, as community bankers, we really do think there's a difference. And when you think about, particularly for businesses or even an individual with a somewhat unique situation, it's really hard to address the specific needs and situations of someone without some human intervention, without someone sitting across from you who speaks the same language, at least fairly well, and perhaps is familiar with the community you're in and the challenges you face, that person is so much better equipped to help you deal with whatever it is you're trying to accomplish or whatever your problems are. And we think we do that pretty well. We, you know, relating it back to the journey you were asking me about earlier, when my wife and I decided to come back to the area from New York City, one of the things that I said to myself was, I don't really want to be at an outpost for a large and tremendous financial organization, but one that I'm not even sure they know they're in Rochester, much less, you know, would I have autonomy and commitment and focus and the ability to help drive and craft the future of our presence there, et cetera. So for me, with that kind of a lifestyle decision, the notion of joining a community bank where you could really do all those things and also really make a difference for people was exactly what I was hoping to find and eventually did.
So you're in a good place. You're good mojo, as they say.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'll tell you, as a company, you alluded to it, but earlier we talked about our name and retaining the name, the Bank of Cast Isle here in Western New York. There's more to it than the name. And we are a bit different, even than other community banks, in that we've continued to maintain literally the entity itself. So the Bank of Cast Isle is still an independent legal entity. We have the examiners come in and examine us, and we have a board of directors and local management, which I'm part of. So it's that is different, for example, than what most have done, which is roll it up under one umbrella. Certainly have regional leadership, and there's no, I'm not trying to necessarily have a knock on that, but we've consciously invested more time and energy in maintaining that structure because we think it makes us better at delivering exactly what you said. I couldn't have scripted it any better. Being able to be a little more creative, a little bit more responsive, a little more nimble, and just tailor what we're doing to the opportunities here in the market.
Yeah, it's a big advantage. It's a big advantage. So that's great. What are, you know, so through the years, you've seen a lot of small businesses, right? What are some, you know, so a lot of our listeners on this show are beginning to middle stage entrepreneurs looking for success habits. You having an overview now for so many years, what are some of the habits of success that you see small business people kind of incorporating into their lives?
So I think consistent focus and commitment on whatever your vision is key. You know, it may not happen overnight. You don't know when those opportunities are going to present themselves that are going to help you really move forward toward whatever that end goal is. But patience and planning together can be pretty powerful, you know, and then throw in a little diligence and you've really got something. You know, I've often said hard work will beat talent every time, and certainly it's been part of my success.
Cause I'm a testament to that, too.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of...
I'll outwork you. I'm not that smart, but I will outwork you.
There wasn't a lot of talent under the Christmas tree. Yeah, exactly. So to me, hard work, focus, staying committed to whatever that end game is. I know, you know, personally, back to the journey, I never have thought it was going to be 8 years between moving back here and then actually joining a local company. And in fact, as I mentioned earlier, the conversations that I started with Tompkins Bank of Cast Isle started a good 15 years before I joined the company. And it was early days, take a meeting, see what's there, and then stay in touch, you know. And that's sort of that, back to my point of just staying focused and staying with it and not expecting that things are simply going to happen overnight, but hoping they might. Being optimistic, being open, I think those are, I'm throwing a lot at you, but I think those are all important things to being successful.
No, I agree with you. It is a lot of entrepreneurs, and I think you started out with staying focused on the vision, and me included, you know, the look at the squirrel syndrome, right? I call it sometimes the bright shiny light syndrome. And a lot of entrepreneurs are famous for that. Well, they get a great idea, they're all excited, tons of energy, and then 2 months later, they don't build that mountain enough, and they're on to the next mountain, and then they're on to the next mountain. They never gain traction because they don't, you know, finish what they started. And because we're excitable, we have all these great ideas. And, you know, I think at the ripe old age of 48, I'm finally focusing on you know, really building, for me, at this point in my life, I'm building an entrepreneur media company in Rochester, which is my radio show, my magazine, and my annual event. And it's funny, I catch myself with other ideas to add to the pile. I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. You're on a good path. And now what I do is I write it down and I put it in my desk, and then I won't look at it again for 2 or 3 weeks. And if I still think it's a good idea, then maybe I'll find a way to, but usually I don't. I'm like, that was a manic idea. Let me throw that away.
Well, yeah, just as an observer, by the way, I think the other thing you've done, watching you incredibly well, and I didn't mention this, but persistence, you are on it. You've done a great job of staying in touch, I know, with me personally.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And
you were a hard one to track down. I mean, you answered my email right away, but getting the appointment, right?
No, but I've watched you. Again, we reconnected when I met your father.
Yeah.
And I've been able to watch a lot of things you've been doing since then. And I applaud your energy, your effort, and you are an example of what it takes.
Thank you. I call it, I don't know if everybody would agree with me, but I call it being pleasantly persistent.
Yeah, pleasant. Being pleasant, I think, really helps. But
there's a fine line between like massively annoying and pleasantly persistent, right?
You're on the right side.
I'm walking that fine line. So I'm with John McKenna, CEO, President, Bank of Castile, Tompkins. And John, so we got about 5 minutes left here. I always love to try to impart advice to our listeners about personal success. So what are some of your own personal success habits? How do you, I'm looking at you, look healthy, you're thin, family, so you're a well-rounded business person, right? Because some people are very good at business, but they're suffering in their health, or they're suffering in their relationships, their kids don't want to talk to them, whatever. You seem to have it figured out, right? At least by all the appearances, right? So is this just by luck, or do you actually have some instigative strategies to make this happen?
Dave, is my wife going to be able to hear this show?
Yes, she is.
I need to know before I answer this question.
Your wife and your sister, I know her, so yeah.
Well, you're very generous, so I'm not going to sit here and I'll start by saying I'm not sure I accept all the
you're modest.
The success that you're pointing out. But if I think about what has been important in the modest success I have had personally, and I will tell you that's improved over time, I think. But part of it's getting to know yourself, getting to understand what you really care about, understand what your motivations are, understand how you influence others. And how what they perceive when you say something, do something, and caring and being sensitive about that. One of the great things about this company I'm with, we provide a lot of support to our teams and development and coaching. I know a lot of people in our running businesses have executive coaching, and I do as well. And my coach turned me onto a book called Leadership and Self-Deception. I've had lots of reading to do, by the way. So that was one that stuck out. What I was just talking about, they talk about getting out of the box, was the point of that book. Understanding yourself, understanding others that you interact with, and making sure you're really listening and focusing on how that interaction is being interpreted and influencing that other person. Not taking for granted that they hear exactly what you think you're saying, for example. You have to sort of slow down once in a while, and both at home and at work, to do that. And that's hard to do when you're running around trying to accomplish a lot of things. But you can be so much more effective if you do that. And so I feel like I'm getting better at it. I feel like I'm in the first, you know, lap of the mile down that road. But to me, that's probably one of the most important things you can do.
That's great. Well, I've always thought you were a modest, humble guy, and you continue to be so. So, you know, that's fantastic. And I think that's part of the allure of a good leader, too, is people like to follow somebody who's not always pounding their chest and talking about how great they are. And that's the opposite of you. So, so you have an executive coach. And are you allowed to say who it is, or is that kind of private?
I probably shouldn't.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right.
But she's great, and if you call me, I'll share her name.
All right, there you go. But I think it's great that you do have a coach, because a lot of leaders don't, because they think they know it all. But you're able to raise your hand and say, "Hey, I'm trying hard. I'm obviously doing a pretty good job, but I could be better." And so you're vulnerable enough to say, "I'm going to work with somebody that can help me be better." So she challenges you, it sounds like, asks you the right questions and gives you some reading assignments, apparently. So
exactly. You know what? One of the things that happens as you get further up in whatever it is you're doing is there's fewer and fewer people you can count on for honest feedback, unfortunately. And that's not absolutely true, but it's generally true. And so you need to have those avenues to get honest feedback. Now, my wife does a great job of resetting me every day when I get home.
She's the boss. You're the boss at work.
Yeah.
She's the boss at home.
She gives me great, honest feedback, very honest. But, but you know, at the office, in all seriousness, at the office, that's a real challenge. And so, I think whether it's finding a mentor or a peer or a coach or whatever it is, or all those things, outside of that office setting is really important.
Yeah. Well, John, guess what? You know, you're a humble guy, and you said in the beginning when we were pre-talking, you said, "I don't know how I'm going to fill 41 minutes or to an hour here," and we're there. So,
and it's been fun.
It's been fun. It was fun for me. Was it fun for you?
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Well, John McKenna, President and CEO, Bank of Castile, Tompkins, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the interview. We truly appreciate it. People want to get in touch with you. What's the best way?
My pleasure, Dave. www.bankofcastile.com here in Western New York, 585-345-0122 is our general number.
Great.
And they can find me.
Excellent, excellent. And then you can find out your coach and your books and more secrets to your success.
I'll share it all.
And you'll even teach them how to open up the bank account if they want, right?
Absolutely.
All right, John McKenna, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And Avanti Entrepreneurs, thank you so much for listening to the show. Totally appreciate it. If you or someone that you know would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com. And that's M-A-M-M-A-N-O. And don't forget to check us out on the web at avantientrepreneurgroup.com and davidmamano.com. Thank you so much. Make it a great day and stay awesome.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.